Hello and welcome to the Centre for Cities podcast. The Centre for Cities is the first port of call for independent research and policy analysis focusing on UK city economies. For more information on this series or our broader research and events programme, please visit www.centreforcities.org.
Welcome to the Centre for Cities podcast to discuss the report that was launched today, sponsored by Zurich, that looks at how and why small businesses vary across the UK cities. And sitting with me at the table, I have three guests that are going to discuss some aspects of the report and indeed, more importantly, what we can do about it. I've got Lord Young, who's an advisor to the Prime Minister on enterprise and done some recent work on this. Welcome, Lord Young. I've got Mike Kapoor, who's chairman of the Confederation of British Industry and heavily involved in the space industry. So welcome to you, Mike. And I've got Richard Coleman, who's director of SME Zurich Insurance, who's the sponsor of the work that we've just published. Welcome to you, Richard. So the report looks at SME performance, how it varies and why it varies. It tries to understand why it varies. So reflecting on the findings from the report, why must policies that support SMEs be at the heart of the policy agenda on economic growth? And Lord Young, get some thoughts
because
from you on this.
Because SME is economic growth. I came into the Department of Industry in 1979, then. There were 800,000 firms in the land. By the end of the 80s, there were 2 million. Halfway through the 90s, we were 2.6 million. Internet came in, and today there are just over 5 million firms. 430,000 last year were created, and over half a million, it's 260,000 for the first half, over half a million this year. And of them, three quarters are sole traders. And 96.5%, sorry, 95.5%, I mustn't exaggerate, 95.5% are under 10.
Okay.
Now that's a number.
Yeah.
Now, of course, in employment terms, it's different because larger firms employ about 35%, 40%. The problem, not the problem, the world in which we live has been large firms are becoming more and more efficient. And through use of technology have been out producing more and employing less. That's a steady, it's been going on for 30 years, I think it will go on for quite a while to come. And indeed, if I go back to the days of my youth, well, not quite that far back, but anyway, 30, 40 years back, large firms prided themselves on doing everything. They had a travel department, they had a print department, they even had medical. Today they pride themselves equally on doing nothing and they subcontract everything. So we have this multiplicity of small firms, we have this enormous number of sole traders and they're all growing rather well at the moment.
Okay, great. Richard, you were saying earlier that for Zurich, SMEs are both a means to the market as well as being the market itself. How should we think about them in terms of a policy agenda? Where would you like to see the policy agenda move?
So I think the interesting thing that came out from the round table we just had was quite a deal of unanimity actually around a request for greater devolution. So I think your report quite well highlights the difference in cities, the difference about what makes them strong and resilient, and certainly the group we were talking to were quite strong around the need for local understanding of local businesses to either invest in the areas where they're perhaps short against their peers, or they have assets or capabilities, perhaps they're not extrapolating enough. I think that came out very, very strongly.
Indeed. And Mike, I mean, should the government be playing a role in sort of encouraging and supporting SMEs? I mean, what's the CBI perspective and thoughts on this?
I think very much is there is a real key role for government in this. Lord Young has mentioned that SMEs is economic growth. I think that's absolutely right. I think the key role that government can play is to actually create the framework.
Right.
Create the framework within which SMEs, and by that I mean M's as well, medium-sized companies as well as the very small companies, can learn to maximise the opportunities available to them. Make sure that they've got a structure whereby they can access information about markets, new markets, how to help them consolidate their existing markets, how to help them actually work with their UK supply chain better, than they have been doing. So I think there's a whole holistic approach that could be taken to the SME sector. I think government providing a framework within which that can happen efficiently is actually very, very important.
Great. And the previous government, I think, and this government as well, you know, made some move towards a devolution agenda, trying to push resources and responsibilities down, obviously championed by one of your colleagues, Lord Heseltine,
yes.
Lord Young, around, you know, trying to think about how central government supports. Are we going far enough? Can we go further? I mean,
well,
where are we on that devolution agenda?
Well, we're doing a lot of other things other than devolution. For example, we're in the middle of a procurement process now. A government, by this I mean border government, central government, local government, mm-hmm. health service, police, education, spends in the order of £250 billion a year. Well, my last paper, which is a report which was accepted by government, will abolish PQQs, minimum qualification questionnaires, mm-hmm. below €200,000. And above that, we're evolving a situation in which companies will register themselves once, register once, access many times, and there'll be one site on which all the government procurement contracts will be there,
okay.
postcoded, whatever. That's one thing that we're really doing. We have startup loans, mm-hmm. which has been ongoing for the last few months. 300 people a week are starting to work for themselves. The other side of the sum is going to be 600. It's going to be for any age now. And that, I think, before I'm finished here, 40, 50,000 new firms, pulling perhaps 100,000 new mm-hmm. people will come into being. You know, back in the mid-80s, I introduced something called enterprise allowance,
mm-hmm.
which for long-term unemployed to work for themselves. Two of those companies made the FTSE 100.
Right.
So, you're from little acorns.
Indeed. No, that's a good point. Mike, devolution agenda, Lord Young reminds us that there are other things going on, but where are we on the devolution agenda from your perspective? Do you want to see more? Should we be pushing harder, encouraging central government to go further in terms of what it's set out?
I think the devolution agenda, I think, is one that really will help SMEs
mm-hmm.
on the ground. You know, this won't be an initiative that lacks impact, I suspect, if it's actually implemented correctly. I think the key thing that is now required to make it work and work well will be how we can ensure consistency of delivery. We mustn't have a situation where SMEs, through a devolved set of arrangements, for example, in the Northwest, are disadvantaged against those in the southwest,
mm-hmm.
for simply because the mechanism for delivery and
yes.
the way that the delivery is monitored and those structures are put into place and audited are inconsistent. We must have quality delivery. And I think government has a role in setting what that quality should be,
yes, that's a good
having
point.
A series of simple metrics that
mm-hmm.
can be measured that would have high impact, and if implemented and measured that way, actually means that we get good quality growth amongst SMEs up and down the country.
Yeah.
And I think that's where devolution of some of these economic policies, if done right, will have
yeah.
its best impact.
And Richard, national organisation, national company, but in many markets, in many places,
mm-hmm.
where do you think the devolution agenda has got us?
I think I was just reflecting on risk, which is obviously our business.
Indeed.
And how some of the aspects of risk that we understand from our customers are much better understood at a local level.
Mm.
So, for example, we work through local agents and local brokers who will help us understand the local economy, the customers within it. But that some of the emerging aspects of risks would actually be quite well dealt with nationally in terms of national policy. So areas like cybercrime, for example, which we see as a huge and obviously emerging area of risk for some of our SMEs, would benefit from more national. So I think it's actually horses for courses in terms of certain elements are better national,
mm.
certain elements better closer to the customer.
Yeah. And I suppose turning it on its head, we talked about what national government is and could do. What about cities themselves? What about places themselves? What can they do more to support SMEs? We've heard some examples. We know that there are a variety of things going on in Bristol and Manchester and Leeds and elsewhere. But how can we encourage, you know, what do we need to do to encourage cities themselves to do more to support their SMEs?
It's a very interesting challenge.
Hmm.
How do you make diversity uniform? You see, this is the real problem.
Not quite.
The more you move things down, the more LEPs come into the play.
Indeed.
The more you have local things, the more differences you're going to have, because people are different and they have different ideas.
Yes.
And so it really is a problem which we're frankly looking at with some, you know, how far should localism really go? Localism, as an example, we're abolishing PQQs because it's deregulatory, mm-hmm. so therefore you can do that across the piece. I think there are some institutions away from the elected institutions mm-hmm. that we could use. For example, we have no less than 138 business schools mm-hmm. in this country. We're now harnessing them, wherever they are around the country, and directing them to work with SMEs to get their students out, placed out with a small firm, to get the management coming in. We're going to give some of them startup loans, incubator units. I think it's an enormous resource that, frankly, has been totally wasted, mm-hmm. completely wasted. Mm-hmm. But now they're going to be a charter group, and we announce this at the end of the month. And so that is a very good way of doing it. How you make NEPs uniform?
Should we make them uniform?
Well, then
does it matter?
Well, it only matters if you are concerned about the difference that's available to firms in one locality mm-hmm. compared to another.
Yeah. I think uniformity of quality
right.
is an aspiration we should strive for. To make them too uniform so they're all doing the same thing as each other, that's probably a step too far, would dilute their impact.
Yes, okay. And Richard, cities doing it for themselves, as it were. We had some good examples. How do we encourage more to do more?
Yeah, I think that is the nub of the debate. And I think, again, what came out of the round table was a sense of you need a degree of impassioned focus from the city itself. Mm-hmm. So two that the spoke, Manchester and Bristol, were clearly passionate about their local community, passionate about driving an agenda and really pushing it forward. And that's what happens at any point when you devolve out. You do get the difference that comes with working with different groups of people. But I think you have to select the right framework, mm-hmm. the right passion, the right agenda, the right aims to push it out. So I think it is around, as you would in business actually, if you want things done by the right teams, the right people, you select those skills mm-hmm. around it.
That's a good point. And Mike, you mentioned, what's the role of the CBI or the IOD or the Federation of Small Businesses or the Chambers themselves, in a sense, Are they doing as much as they ought and they can in terms of supporting small businesses in their particular patch?
Sure. I mean, I can comment perhaps more authoritatively on the CBI,
of course,
which is the one I know best. In particular, this last year, we started working with our medium-sized businesses, mm-hmm. our M-clubs, as we call them,
yep.
Where we try and bring businesses, like-minded, similar aspirations, similar challenges, together in a way that they can sort of learn from their peer group,
yep.
learn what each are doing well, learn what they've experienced that's worked, learn perhaps things that they ought to avoid or steer clear of rather than to fall into the traps
yes.
of getting them wrong. And that's working very well. We're getting a lot of demand for that. We're rolling them out, well, we did roll them out across the country last year, and we have a new series of M clubs this year. So I know we at the CBI were certainly doing that. Without wanting to claim any authority on any of the other business clubs, I do recognise that certainly some of the chambers are putting together training programmes mm-hmm. for their members, and I think that's to be welcomed. I think all of those business organisations have a role to play alongside the other structures, okay. Such as the MEPs,
yeah.
in actually driving local agendas. The one thing that I do think that could benefit with some thought process around is how will individual MEPs collaborate, and when the time comes to get action beyond rhetoric for their collaboration, is that something that will actually happen? Because one senses localism can be a very powerful economic tool, but there are one or two pitfalls that we have to be mindful of.
There are,
and that's
indeed.
In no way wishing them any ill
no,
will,
no.
But I do think we need to be practical.
It's a good point.
Sure, I mean, we'll see these things.
And as you well know, when you look at the ability of LEPs, they vary enormously across the country for a whole bunch of different
yeah.
reasons. But just, I mean, Lord Heseltine had a very specific recommendation on chambers. He recognised them as being important. He wanted them to do more and be a slightly different beast. Where do you sit on that?
The problem with Michael's proposal is Marshal Blücher turned up late in the afternoon and we won the Battle of Waterloo. If we'd have lost the Battle of Waterloo, we would have had compulsory chambers.
Right.
Chambers came into existence in this country to help people export. In the days we needed bills of lading, it was a whole mystique to exporting That's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
So chambers are really looking for a new role. But can I just make one or two
things?
Of course. So, two comments. One that something Mike actually said. I chaired the West Sussex Forum for a number of years. We talked to Hampshire, we'd never talk to East Sussex, you know, because you've got these local rivalries and they're very strong. You can't help it. Secondly, London is a collection of cities.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you saw, it just came out, Tech City, which is an area round the roundabout, quite a small area, 15,750 firms have started in the last year. That's an incredible number, actually, to start.
More than any other postcard in the country, I think, was the headline.
By a long way. But that is a separate city,
yeah.
Has separate conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem. If you're going to go down to localism, make it really local.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. And Richard, in terms of the business community, you work with them on a daily basis. How can we help them? Do they need more help in terms of help encouraging them to support small businesses, particularly those that are currently operating in local or regional markets, and we want to, you know, encourage them to cast their eyes and they're wider than they currently are.
Mm-hmm. So I think there's an interesting point we raised earlier on around virtuous circles and hidden virtuous circles. So I take the way we go to market through regional brokers. We've chosen that because it gives us more risk insight.
Yeah.
But actually what it's helped drive is a greater virtuous circle.
Mm-hmm.
We have better relationships with good local businesses who understand their local businesses more, provide us with better risk insight, and actually then start driving more business. And actually that regional broker model, sort of 3,000 SMEs, servicing SMEs, is the bedrock of how commercial insurance tends to work in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we overlook the inherent value of that. And I do wonder how many other industries have parallels.
Yes.
Where actually the industry could do with a step back and look at what works and what works well.
Yeah.
And could create those sustainable virtuous circles.
Well, that's a good call and a good way to finish the podcast, in the sense of trying to look at what works and what works well, and then try to encourage others to adopt that as well. I'd like to thank Lord Young, Mike Kapoor and Richard Coleman for joining me. This is the Centre for Cities podcast on the Small Business Outlook. Thank you very much.